Hello, my name is Eunice Skeet and welcome to this fortnight's episode of the PD Podcast. The PD Podcast stands for the Personal Development Podcast and is part of the wider Personal Development Project. This is a student set up and run podcast and blog dedicated to everything personal development and productivity from a student perspective. Everything is available on our website, that is www.pdproject.co.uk. In the previous episode, we talked about personal finances, but this episode, we're going to be talking about progressive extremism and the snowball effect with my two guest speakers.
Philip. Hi, I'm Philip here. So I study economics at the University of Bristol. I know Eunice from back home. We went to the same school in London. He's a really great guy and just felt that I had to join in this experience.
Yeah, hi, I'm Tom. I know Eunice through, we train mixed martial arts together, but I'm studying a PhD in Bristol on physics as well, so that's how I know Eunice.
Okay, so if you just dive straight in to sort of what is progressive extremism slash the snowball effect, and I think sort of regarding personal development and other stuff, there's often large changes that we want or that we need, and I think progressive extremism is more just breaking those changes down into manageable steps or breaking those changes down into habit changes so that we can reduce sort of big long-term projects, long-term changes into small actionable steps really. And then similarly, the snowball effect is looking that but maybe removing the control, so looking at how small unexpected starts can snowball, as it says, into larger things, be that positive or negative. But I think if we start with sort of managing our personal development and where we want it to go, I think a key consideration, as we talked about, Tom, in our prep to this, was what are your motives? For a lot of people, personal development that they want, the personal development that they want, stems from positive or negative places, stems from insecurities, stems from external pressures or anything else. And Tom, one thing I really liked was the questions you posed last week. So if you just run us through those.
Yeah, so there's so much we often always think about in terms of, you know, whether we are talking about the snowball kind of effect or just general productivity or well-being, and we always look forward and we always look where we want to be and we're always concerned about how we're going to get there.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably equally important to like look back, look at your history, look what you're like, if that's your pull, what's your push?
Yeah.
And often in times like this you find that what's pushing you is actually it's the reason why you're doing something. Okay, so it can be anything. It can be, you know, I got something to prove to myself. I want to be able to prove that I can do this. Or some people have had very hard times growing up and they use that as a drive to push them forward. Mm. So I think it's all about finding your why and assessing, because I think if you accurately assess what's pushing you, accurately figure out why you're doing something, yeah, you're going to have a better idea of whether the goal you actually want to achieve is right for you.
Is right for you, yeah. Because definitely, I feel like most people are aware of the visions of the success that they want. If we look back to, we touched on it in the first episode of the PD podcast. People often come with a vision of success that they want, and that can be the pull. It can be, I want to do well in my MMA. I've got a fight coming up this weekend. Or
shout out.
I want to get a
we'll get the video put up.
I want to get a first in my degree, but they don't sort of look inwards and look backwards at, okay,
yeah,
what am I definitely trying to prove to myself? What definitely is really pushing me?
And
we will open this question for the floor, but I think the main pushes for me personally would be not disappointing my mum, making my mum proud, and then religious. And those two aren't something that comes to mind at all on the day-to-day when I sort of think, why am I grafting? Why do I want this first? But I think it's really enlightening to look back.
If you just have the future in mind and you don't have the drive, I think often you find yourself, when you actually meet your goals, when you meet your expectations, it's either underwhelming or not enough.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're set out with a really core belief, it's almost like this like anti-nihilist kind of thing, right? So you're not, there's a why to things.
Yeah.
You have at some level a why you're doing things, and that's just profound, man. Guys and girls with their whys set out, they're just unstoppable sometimes, you know? They really are. And I'm not saying everyone has to be that unstoppable, be that force of nature, but we can definitely learn lessons from people like that.
100%.
I completely agree with Eunice. So like, I definitely know my why, and it's definitely be kind of, you know, problems, you know, struggles with when I was growing up, and just ensuring that, looking in the future, ensuring that, you know, maybe my children or people close to me wouldn't have to go through the same thing. But also my why is that, you know, I've seen kind of as a kid a lot of people not take, you know, school seriously and not take certain things seriously when they're younger, and I just want to kind of show those kids that you can, you know, you can still be successful and provide advice to them. And that's like Eunice said as well, I don't think about that every day, but I know that that's something that is permanent. And so when I do decide, why am I actually doing this, I remember that kind of core belief, and that definitely drives me on the day to day. That's what pushes me.
And I'd say I've found that's when I'm sort of searching for my identity, that's something that stays constant. Because what I'm doing year to year, and who I'm doing it with year to year and day to day even, changes. Like, I had never imagined myself sitting on a podcast. I don't think any of you did, even at the start of the year. But I'd say the motives, the why, the what is pushing me, is what I see pretty much staying constant indefinitely. But if you have the why behind us, sort of looking to applying that passion, applying that drive to your life in whichever way you want, is where I think progressive extremism comes in as a mechanism for making that more accessible. And I think now is a good point to sort of set some ground rules almost, or just put some context around this discussion, because what we don't want is to try and send the message that we're convincing everyone to be on this sort of exponential path of growth and burn out. One of the things one of the quotes I love is optimizing for happiness. And I think that's what personal development and productivity is about. It's not productive if increasing productivity makes you sadder. It's not personal development if the development you're seeking doesn't benefit your happiness as well.
Definitely. And it's like, you got to ask yourself the question of, you know, productive for who and why. I mean, some of the most productive people out there, they do spend their lives working for the happiness of someone else. And there is no shadow of a doubt. Some dudes, they're very productive in that framework, but they might also be quite miserable.
Definitely.
And you got to have this core sense of who you are. What's pushing you? What's going to make you happy? And then the productivity, I think, is somewhat of a side, almost a side
part.
Like an after effect almost.
Yeah.
Is people see that as productivity, and it's like, well, that was never my goal at the start. I didn't walk into this scenario wanting to be Mr. Productive, you know.
You walked into the scenario with one of our mottos is making you a better you. I walked in trying to improve myself for myself, trying to make me more of a fit into the me I want to be and the me I feel happy being. Phil, one of the things I took from our prep meeting last week is about being that guy that jumps from 0 to 100. And I think that's that's those situations is where progressive extremism comes in, sort of breaking that down.
Yeah. So like, I know a lot of, so I'm a second year student, I know a lot of people right now are probably thinking about their careers and what they're going to do when they leave university. And, you know, I'm not the person here saying that, oh, I had, you know, everything went well for me, everything went beautiful for me. But, you know, I started thinking about this, you know, what I want to do about after university from like quite a young age, maybe 16, 17, A-levels. And from then, instead of, you know, in second year university thinking, oh crap, I need a job now, and trying to go from 0 to 100, you know, trying to go to all these events and build up your CV, let's say, I started that from a, you know, from a very young age, 17, I just built it up slowly. And I think, and yeah, I've turned out to, I've got what I wanted so far, but I think that's kind of what we're talking about when we're talking about the snowball effect and progressive extremism. You know, that important aspect of understanding that, you know, we're all human. We can't one day be like, I don't go to the gym, and the next day say, I'm going to go to the gym for 2 hours every day for the next 3 months. That's, if you do that, well done to you. Like, you're Superman. But I don't think, you know, a lot of people can do that. And I think you need to understand who you are and understand what struggles you'll face, and that will really help you to build up to what you want to achieve in life. One good example Eunice gave that I really liked was when exam season comes around, it's a bit difficult for everyone. So instead of, you know, waking up at 11 or 12 and having your lions and then saying, oh, I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. from now on, just waking up half an hour early every day will get you to that 6 a.m. And if you actually do wake up, if you actually try it, you'll see that you almost don't even feel the effect of waking up. Mm. And I think that's something that's very important. You've got to your goal without kind of rushing. And I think that's what this whole topic's really about.
Yeah, and I'll touch on that, but I liked what you said at the end. You've got to your goal without rushing. This progressive extremism is really about taking those small steps and not rushing straight towards your end goal. And like the sleeping thing is one of the things I found that helped me the most, because for me personally, I'd say it's most useful. I fast, I observe Ramadan, so I'm up at dawn, which is 3 a.m. During Ramadan these days. So my sleeping schedule gets destroyed. And at some point, somewhere, I need to revert back to normal sleeping schedule. But I've got a good, 6-7 hours that I need to shift things in. And jumping straight in with anything in life to, I'm going to wake up 6 hours earlier the next day. Everyone knows that sort of feeling. You wake up dead. More time, as soon as you've got out of bed, you go down to the couch and you knock out again. It's not realistic and it's not feasible. So one thing I did, it took me probably about 4 or 5 weeks, just wake up 10 minutes earlier every day and you don't notice it. Because what is 10 minutes to your body when you've been sleeping for the past 9, 10? And I think that is that's why we try to talk about habit changes, just small habit changes, so that day on day, you don't realise that you're changing. But magnify those timescales up to a year, 10 years, 20 years, and we can be hopefully in the positions that make us feel content. Coming back to the gym, one of the examples I came across, which I think is actually quite humorous, is Strava, the fitness tracking app for like running and cycling. They were processing data on New Year's resolutions, and one of the things they found is that most people's fitness goals start to fail on the second Friday of the new year. So on week 2 of 52, most people are already failing on their New Year's resolutions. That's something I think everyone can relate with. And like Philip was saying, maybe it is because we sort of identify, I want to be that marathon runner. I want to be that guy that wakes up at 6 a.m. and goes to the gym. And we dive straight into that. And we haven't thought about, hold on, we're used to waking up at 11 a.m. There's so many components that go into this that maybe where we start on that journey is, all right, tomorrow I'm going to wake up half an hour earlier.
I mean, I think there's so many good examples of this within mixed martial arts, you know. I mean, just from the training, like having done it for a few years, you know, I've seen guys come in, really want to give it their all. They really do. They want to train. They want to train every day. They bought their new shorts, their groin guard, their gloves, their shin pads, their cup. They bought all the gear. They come in the gym, not really done much martial arts before, but they like also almost like the idea. And then they get there, and it's hard. It's hard training, and not just physically hard. As you know, you see guys come in, and then they're what, 95, 100 kilos, and then they're getting tapped out by dudes that are 65, 70, and then that's a big ego hit. And you think like they've let their passion project almost project a fantasy, and when they hit the reality, they've discovered that maybe that it's a false passion. They're not really into martial arts anymore. They don't want to be the next Conor McGregor, and they're down about 300 quid in new gear, you know?
Yeah. And I think, as in touching then financially, I think you can apply this as well, because new sport season or something, we buy all the gear. We've never done this sport before.
It's dangerous.
We buy all the gear and we jump straight in, and it's easy to see how that can leave your bank account burnt out. But then looking back, you were saying MMA, I've found the same. It's incredibly mentally taxing. And I think everyone's about making life easier. So rather than jumping straight in to huge change, which is always going to be mentally taxing. Humans are lazy creatures. We like things being the same tomorrow as they were today. I think, breaking that down. And then another quote I quite like to wrap this up is, not quite a quote, but then a saying is the 80% rule, which is you have this goal, and it's saying be as ambitious as you want to be with that goal. Go from couch potato to marathon runner. But when it comes to trying to put that goal into practice, if you're not 80% sure that you're going to achieve the next step, peg it back. So say it's to be a marathon runner, I need to go from couch potato to running four times a week. And I haven't ran in 5 years. The goal, running four times a week, get that out of your head for another 6, 7, 8, 9 months, or maybe even years. Why don't we walk to uni rather than get the bus? Because that's easy. For me, walking to uni maybe once a week rather than getting the bus, I can do that. Running a marathon, on the other hand, is impossible. So if you're not 80% sure you'll get that next step done, peg it back, make it less ambitious.
They talk about this like flow state or flow idea in like the social sciences, I think, and it's something our coach has definitely mentioned to us at training. And the idea is you always want the challenge and the ability to be within about 10% of each other. So you wanna feel like things are a challenge, so you're getting rewards, and you get that positive feedback snowball effect. And if you step too far down and you don't challenge yourself enough, you don't get the emotional rewards back. And if you step too high, like our friend who comes in the gym and gets tapped out after he spent 300 quid on MMA gear, you get beaten down, you know? And you just got to keep that passion under control. What did I say? That was
quote. It was passion without a handbrake.
It's deadly.
Gets you nowhere.
It's deadly. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I like that one. I think, that's a good one.
So I think another sort of check I think we can apply to whether or not these goals or these next steps are realistic, as well as that 80% rule, is if you had to start it now, would you? And the chances are, if the answers are no, it's not going to happen. So like, for example, just taking it back to couch potato to marathon runner, I can walk home or I can walk to uni now, easy. I'm not going to run 26 miles now. So sort of thinking, does this actually sit well with you if you're not prepared to start that now? If it doesn't feel like something that would be comfortable with you at this very moment. But then, I guess, do you guys have anything else to say?
I'm glad you said that thing about, gave that example about your friend in the gear, because
remember
that was me. I've made a lot of mistakes so, when it comes to this topic. I remember maybe like when I was 16, never played guitar before, thought I could jump straight into it, and guitar's, I'd say, a pretty difficult instrument and I remember I got my mom to get me a guitar and everything, and she was like, you better play it. And then I started, and then I learned like maybe three chords because I just found it very difficult along with my exams at the time, and then I stopped playing and I haven't really picked it up ever since. And I don't know, I'd say that really, you know, taught me a lesson, because that moment is when I realized that, wow, if I'm going to jump into something, if I think I'm going to do something, I need to take it slow. I can't just jump in. But yeah, that was quite a funny situation for my past.
Yeah. There's I did a bit of Googling before I got here, and I was looking at sort of the snowball effect, like these positive feedback, I think is roughly what we're sort of getting at, you know, like the effects get bigger. And I came across something about child prodigies.
Okay.
So there's a guy who basically explained the phenomena of child prodigies as essentially the snowball effect. He says that essentially because children have got such more acute emotional investment in things, like the phenomena of child prodigies can get explained by this snowball effect, and that's okay. Why, because the rewards are so much greater for them when they do well, that's why you get this whoosh, like in of like Mozart or some Beethoven or whatever, you know. Yeah. But there was a really nice quote about it, about the guy's research from someone called Vinner, and he says, it's like a rage to master. It's okay. A rage to master, which I really liked, because it highlights how ferocious it can be, but it also highlights it as a tool. It sheds quite a nice light on it.
I think that does segue us nicely into what we wanted to discuss next is potentially when all of this progressive extremism and snowball effect goes wrong. Because Tom does a physics PhD, I used the example when we had our prep meeting, it's like maybe in year 9 your physics teacher tells you you're good at physics, and what, 5, 6, 7 years later, you hate physics, but you find yourself signing on to a physics PhD because it's the only next career progression you can see. And I think it is sort of looking at when we actually need to calm down, when we need to say, all right, we've been observant, it's quite a hard thing to do, but been observant of the way we have been progressing, and we sort of check back in and ask, does that sit well with me, where am I going, and then sort of change direction. And I think what most of us can relate with comes back to, yes, careers and education, and asking ourselves, are we actually on the right path? Are we actually progressing healthily, progressing in a way which again is optimizing our happiness? And I think that is definitely something to be wary about, because I don't want to say with everything, you can't be as blasé as saying, if you don't like this, don't do more of it. With academics, certain things you do have to stick out. With career progression, at the end of the day, if your side hustle doesn't look like it's ever going to work, maybe getting a proper solid job is something you have to do. But anything you two want to bring to that?
I'd say I've never had an experience of kind of being in a snowball effect that is a negative one for me, but I definitely say that in a situation like this and surrounding this topic, sometimes you have to kind of do the difficult things, and you'd have to maybe be resilient or maybe make tough decisions. So if you do find that, you know, you're having this progressive extremism, but then you're suddenly really hating what you're doing, what I say is don't be afraid to take a step back and maybe change what you're doing. Like Yuna said, sometimes in academics, don't get confused as to, oh, I don't really like what we're doing now, but that shouldn't mean that you hate your course. But if you felt from maybe the day one that you were pressured, or you're kind of pressured into doing your course and you only did it for the sake of it, that is where you don't really want to put, you know, a lot of passion about a handbrake. You don't really put a lot of passion into that. Because I think the way I see it is a bit weird, but I see passion as something that, if you don't use it correctly, can be wasted. So if you use it, if you're very passionate about the wrong thing for a long amount of time, I think there's almost kind of like a fear from then onwards that, you know, if you're very interested in something else, you kind of subconsciously won't know whether to follow that or not. And I think that's why it's important to know from the get-go or during the time of what you're doing, whatever you're doing, whether this is truly right for you.
And I think a lot of that, a lot of this is sort of focused around knowing yourself. And I think a lot of that does just come from making mistakes. Maybe it does come from, I've started on the wrong degree, but where do I take this now? Do I apply for another one? Or like how we were saying, Marley's found a way, which I admire. Marley's our guest speaker from the previous episode, a way in which I actually admire of managing the fact that maybe Bristol, maybe university isn't his ideal scenario, but he's managing his music, he's managing his side hustles, and his current situation is optimised to make that all right. So Tom, did you have anything to bring?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of, you can find yourself getting very panicked, especially if you're doing something as large with your life as a university course that you're not passionate about. But I think, you know, on balance, you can find good, you can find positives in anything, right? So, I don't know, maybe you're doing a biology course or something and you don't really want to be a biologist, you've got no real passion in it. What you want to do is maybe something to do with computers. You know,
On the one hand, you can meld them in.
Yeah. You could do something like bioinformatics or like computational biology. You really can. There's got to be a certain amount of playing situations to your advantage and playing things the right way. Gentle hands instead of brick walls, right?
And I think, a lot of people sort of find themselves maybe second year where the clock's ticking a bit and people are sort of looking at internships and they're like, right, I'm on, for example, an economics degree. I don't really think this is a path I want my life to go down. But everyone's chatting to me about economics internships. Why don't I get an economics internship? And I feel like those sorts of scenarios is not panic station, but is where things can start to snowball into paths and avenues you wouldn't want. Like, for example, your physics teacher says you're good at physics. The next thing you know, you're 4 years into a physics PhD. And I think stuff like this can rear its head everywhere in the things that you are passionate about. We are speaking next episode about personal pursuits and how investing more and more into those personal pursuits can actually be incredibly detrimental, even if you are getting a huge amount out of that. And I say personally, with this mini journey I've taken with the PD project, I've found that a lot. I've spent much more time this year in investing in my personal development, investing in my productivity as it is. And there's been a number of situations, unformed situations, that have slapped me about this year. And I've had to take a big step back. And I think one of the ways I've done that as a mentality is trying to set myself targets, not rules. So, for example, episode 3 on productivity, we were talking about my daily planner. Episode 2 on productivity, sorry. We were talking about my daily planner and how I note all of that stuff down. And I like to stay aware of what I'm doing and what I want, and noting everything down allows me to do that. I don't think I've written in that in about 2 or 3 weeks. And last year I started a daily planner, and I'd get a month in and I'd start to slack and I'd beat myself up about it. But I think I realised this year, these are targets, not rules. It's something I'm working towards, but say it's not achieved, it's not an issue at all. And I feel like that is a very healthy sort of management strategy for progressive extremism and for the snowball effect. If you are halfway through your journey again from couch potato to marathon runner, and you relapse back. Remember, this was a target. There was no rule.
I do something similar, I think. What I do is I sign contracts with myself. What do I owe myself today? I don't know. Maybe I owe myself, I've got to finish my simulation, or I owe myself 5 sets of squats. And, you know, if if you do fail to meet the terms of the contract, it's like a real contract, right? It's not, they don't kick you out of the building and kick you to the curb and now your life is in the gutter.
Yeah.
In general, in business, people would, I think, realise that, you know, okay, he's been performing in the past, he's slipped up now, we won't fire this guy.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't work like that. There is a bit of give. How much give you're willing to give yourself is a personal choice. But I think, yeah, you got to have a bit of give there. It's impossible. I think that's the way
we have to almost approach everything. And then, plugging myself relentlessly, but then episode 3, I believe it was, on the personal development mindset, we were talking about how new endeavours need to be seen as opportunities to fail. Like this podcast. I didn't want to start it in the end because I thought, let me just wait until life's in a bit better of a situation and I can deliver a better service. But why would I be thinking like that if I view the podcast as an opportunity to fail? Yeah. And from that failure comes growth. So say you do have your large, be it career goal, be it academic goal. Start on that process with your next actionable step, you're 80% confident of delivering today. But remember, say you are 2 weeks into January and things start to slip. That's almost what we want, because we tried and we failed, and from there we get back stronger.
One thing
I just want to pick up on is Eunice just said now that don't kind of, both of them just said, don't beat yourself down. And one thing that I think is important is that, like Eunice said, he wasn't sure whether it was the right time to start this podcast in his life. But one thing I've realised is that with all the pressures that comes with life, there's never going to be a perfect time.
Absolutely.
There's just going to be a time where you're just going to have to, you're going to have to choose, I want to start this, I want to do this. And that's, you know, that is probably another reason as to why you shouldn't put so much pressure onto yourself. Because in your life, you're always going to be busy. You're always going to have outside pressures, things to do, deadlines, and I think there's going to be a day where you just have to have the confidence and have the kind of self-belief, but also the understanding that you might fail, and just start and start whatever you want to do, just follow that passion. But by understanding that, you know, there's a potential you can fail, and by understanding that you have a lot on your plate, that would effectively be the handbrake on that passion. So I think that's just really important.
Okay, so that concludes this fortnight episode of the PD podcast, which will be available hopefully this Sunday at www.pdproject.com/pdpodcast. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Philip, for joining us on today's talk about progressive extremism and the snowball effect. Please join us next fortnight, where I usually have planned out what we'll be discussing. Next fortnight will be on personal pursuits. Philip will be joining us again for that. The fortnight after is to be confirmed. So watch that space. In the meantime, please do check out our social media outlooks, which will be listed in the show notes below. Thank you very much. It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness. It's a different kind of pain.